Doesn't the experience of worshiping with our team like that just fill you with joy, which should just remind us again that even in the midst of the storm, God is able to fill us with that which our circumstances don't produce. He's able to fill us with joy. And so it gives me great joy that you're experiencing this with us, that you've decided to be here. And I want you to know that I know that together we're gathered in Jesus' name. And I know that you're looking at a screen and I'm looking at a lens, but the truth is that all of that can break down and we can have this community experience around God's truth, and it can give us joy. And that's why I'm so excited about the new series we're starting this weekend. And I love the setting for it, don't you? This is 16 Central, and our team did a ton of work to bring it into here, and you'll probably see some boom shots along the way of what this all looks like, but it's just a natural setting. I would have never guessed that we would ever do a service like this in 16 Central. It was built for relationships and coffee and sandwiches and breakfast wraps and those kind of things, but we're doing service here. And we're starting a series that really gets at the heart of that. It was never my plan when we built 16 Central to do a service in here, but my plans don't matter in the end. It's God's plans. And so our series is called My Plans. Oops, strike out the my and add God's. And that's exactly how life is. And a great, great book in the Bible to help us to understand that reality is the book of Philippians. And that's where we're turning to look at this series. We're turning to Paul, the apostle, and the truths he gave us in that little book that sits in the New Testament, but is absolutely full with truth that can help us in this season of our lives. Paul knew what confinement and isolation and disappointment and separation was like. He knew what it was like to be walled off from what he really wanted to do, and yet he was still able to experience all the great benefits of God's promises in his life. And that's what we're going to get out of the book of Philippians. At its core, it's a thank you letter from Paul the Apostle to this church that he founded in a city called Philippi. And it was a prosperous city, very well situated in the Roman Empire, but so you can get a handle on it, it was in what we would call modern-day northern Greece. It's northern Greece. So it's actually the very first church planted on what we now know as European soil. And you should probably get the connection with that. All the hope of Jesus that we have ultimately flowed to us through Europe. And so the truth of Christ that we enjoy here in America right now in our own personal lives, it has its roots in this church. It turned out to be a vital, vital church. In fact, this church family ended up being one of Paul's most supportive and faithful churches. They're the ones that allowed his ministry to move forward with their generosity. And so in part, we know of Paul's teaching. We know of Paul's ministry and life, and we've been impacted by it because of them. God literally used them to change the world. And yet, and this is an often missed but very important reality for us to understand, Paul never planned to go there. He didn't have plans to go to Philippi, to our modern-day northern Greece. He laid out his plans and his dreams. He was going to take the good news of Jesus to Asia, and he was doing everything in his power to get there. But God kept surprising him, detouring him, preventing him from doing that. And so, in the end, this world-changing church happened simply because Paul was surprised by God. That's how it's going to happen for us, too. If we don't learn to live in the surprises, even when they're unbelievably disappointing surprises, we're not going to experience God's best. But before we dig deeper into this conversation, would you pray with me? Father in heaven, I thank you so much for this moment we have. And God, the reality is I could get distracted by my setting. A couple of key team members running cameras, lenses, and I could get detached from the fact that I'm talking to people that you love and that I care deeply about. And each of them are in diverse settings and they could be distracted. I'm asking that you, by your grace, give us focus. so that we can hear from you your truth that can change us in these very difficult, uncertain moments. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Surprise after surprise, detour after detour, disappointment after disappointment is the only way Paul ever found himself in this city called Philippi. You can read the story on your own. In fact, I encourage you to do it. You've got time. Shut off Netflix or Hulu for a couple of seconds and read Acts chapter 16, where you find the story beginning in verse 6. But let me synthesize it for you for our conversation today. God slammed the door, I mean literally slammed the door on all of Paul's plans. Everything Paul declared he dreamed to do and wanted to do, God slammed the door. And so God detoured him to a place that he had no personal desire, no dream to visit, this city. And then Paul responded, trusting him, okay, if that's where you want me, I'll go there and I'll share the hope of Jesus there with those people. And you'd think, wow, God would really honor that. And God did, but it didn't work out with a Cinderella ending there in Philippi in Paul's life, because for responding positively and sharing the hope of Jesus in his disappointment in these surprising circumstances, yeah, he was thrown in prison there for doing the right thing. In fact, I had the privilege of going to Philippi with some of our church team and church family years ago, and I want to show you a picture of what it looked like just so you can get a sense. This wasn't like a prison in America that's kind of built upon humane principles and helping to keep even prisoners comfortable. It was made out of rough rock inside and out. There was no comfortable furniture. It was rough cut stone, and it was left very, very damp and dark. There was no making comfortable any of these circumstances, and it was a brutal, brutal environment. And you can kind of get the idea of that by looking at that picture. And yet, here was Paul, surprise, 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 doing the right thing, then thrown in this prison, surprise again, and yet he didn't let all these disappointing surprises ultimately lead him to despair, to doubt, or to defeat. Though he certainly didn't understand what in the world God was doing. And I have to say, there was no way he liked it. Who would like being in a prison like that? And yet, and this is what we need to learn from him in this book, he trusted God. You see, he never lost sight of the fact that God was the one who was guiding him, and God always knew best. So when God surprised him, he was willing to go with the surprise because God knew best. And so what he did was he remained faithful. And as a result, God used him to change a ton of lives. Yes, in the city of Philippi, and yes, in a lot of other places in his world of that day, but not just his day, our day too. As I've already said, our lives have been impacted by Paul's ministry in this town. And yet it was a town he never intended to go to. So here's the truth that I want to build our conversation on this weekend. And I hope it's a truth that you'll contemplate, and then maybe you can get on a Zoom call or a FaceTime with others and your family or friends and communicate about it as well. But here's the truth. God's surprises, not our plans, are what lead to experiencing life's best. Now, if you think about that, that's not how we do it. We lean into our plans. We give sacrificially to achieving our plans because all of our plans and dreams and strategies and goals are created by us to give us the best life. And so we lean into them. And then when God surprises us and circumstances change, like in this pandemic right now, we lean away from that. We beg God to take it away from us. We kind of sometimes even push God away in our disappointment because of them. But the truth is that our plans aren't what leads to life's best. It's God's surprises that leads to life's best. I look at Proverbs chapter 16, verse 9. I mean, it's clearly stated in Scripture. In their hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps. It doesn't matter what path you've cut for your life. God's going to get you to the destination he wants you at to experience his best in your life. He's going to establish your steps. And that's the story of Paul here in Philippi. And by life's best, I'm not talking about superficial things. I'm talking about what God describes as the best of life. What Paul writes about in this book, in spite of his dark and disappointing experiences. I'm talking about genuine success that isn't just about our comfort, but about making a difference in this world. I'm talking about fulfillment, joy, peace, contentment. I'm talking about securing and enjoying our most valuable and rewarding relationships. I'm talking about eternal significance. That's what life's best includes. And these are the things that Paul teaches us in this small letter to the people of Philippi. And it was through the surprises of God that he experienced them. And then he teaches us it'll be the same for us. So though God will continually allow us to be surprised in life as we're experiencing in this time of pandemic, I'm surprised, I know you are, and when he does allow us to be surprised, we'll even get our emotions all tangled up in the disappointments, and it can even lead, it does in my life at times, it can even lead to being disappointed with him. But here's what we need to remember. No matter how we feel, no matter how it seems, no matter what's going on in our emotional entanglements, no matter how disappointed we are, we have to remember, like Paul did, God is never disappointing us. God's not making mistakes. God's not failing us. God's still doing exactly what he promised us, guiding us to the place where we can experience his best in our lives. And what we have to do is we have to realize that he is leading us to perfect alignment with his perfect will in our lives. And we just have to trust him. And that brings me to the application. If we're going to step into this truth and experience it, it's not just about you hearing the truth and quoting the truth. It's about us applying it to our lives. Based upon that truth, in order to experience life's best, since it doesn't come through our engineered plans and strategies, it comes through God's surprises. In order to experience life's best, we have to trust God no matter what. I mean, no matter what, whatever the turn, wherever it takes us. I mean, Paul did it in a Roman prison facing death. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 give us the foundation for this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he'll make your path straight. He'll get you exactly where he intends you to experience his best. Now, I know some of you might be thinking, I thought this was a series out of the book of Philippians. And it is, but I think it's really important for us to remember that Paul was basing his life, his reactions, on God's truth as well. And the truth that he was looking back to was in Proverbs here. I'm going to trust God no matter what the surprise is. I'm going to not lean on my own understanding and follow my feelings. I'm going to acknowledge him, and he's going to get me where I need to be. And then he writes about it in this letter to us in real world terms. So this is the truth that forms the foundation of his message to us. So let's use Paul as the example. When he wrote the letter to the Philippians, he was once again experiencing a surprise, surprised by God. When he went to Philippi, it was a surprise. He was thrown in jail, and we've already seen that. But when he's writing to them, he's not writing from Philippi. Why would he write? He's writing from Rome, but he, in Rome, is in prison facing death. So talk about disappointment, right? Talk about darkness, defeat. And yet, he writes this unbelievably positive letter. One of the weekends of this series, I'm going to talk about joy because this is known as the letter of joy. And it's so paradoxical, it seems. He's experiencing life's darkest moments and disappointments, and yet he's writing all about joy. We can experience the positive consequences of God's promises in our life, even in the worst of circumstances. So I want you to see some of the opening thoughts that he gives to the church at Philippi, to us in Philippians. I'll start with chapter 1, verse 3. He says, I thank my God every time I remember you. And if I could just point it out, usually when everything's going wrong and everything's difficult, that's not the moment that we're expressing gratitude. And yet that's exactly what he's doing. I thank my God every time I remember you. And the truth is, if he hadn't trusted God, in spite of being surprised and disappointed when he had to go to Philippi and get thrown in prison in the first place, he'd have nothing to be grateful for. His gratitude being expressed here is about that which God did because of a surprise. Then he goes on, in all of my prayers for all of you, and if I could stop there, when we're really experiencing the storms of life, isn't that usually when we turn to pray more for self-interested stuff? We pray more for ourselves than others, and yet here he is in prison facing death, and he's praying for them. And then he tells us about the quality of his prayers. He says, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. So here he is, surprised, difficult, disappointed, despairing circumstances, but how is he praying? He's praying in joy. And then he tells us how. I mean, how could he be grateful in this time? How could he be praying for others instead of just for himself in this time? How could he be experiencing joy in this time? Well, he tells us, Philippians 1:6, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Nothing can stop God's good work. You might be surprised, but he's not. And then he gives an illustration. Jump down to verse 12. He says, now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. Remember what's happened to him. He's been unjustly thrown into an inhumane, brutal Roman prison cell. Damp and dark. I've been in those in Rome, and they were just filled with water. It was a disgusting, inhumane place. And yet he's saying, what happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. If you think about it, sharing the good news with the world is a public adventure. It's a relational thing. You need contact. And you wouldn't think of being in a prison cell as something that could advance it. But that's how God used it. You see, he's saying that I'm confident that God continues his good work in me no matter what's happening. And he's going to bring it to completion. And so he could be grateful. He could have joy. He could pray for others. And then he says, and because of this, I rejoice, not because I'm in prison, not because this is easy, but because of God's good work continuing, that nothing can stop it, that he's advancing his good news in this world and his hope, I rejoice. Yes, and I'll continue to rejoice. This is what the book of Philippians like. It's like one poignant passage after another, and it's so relevant to us in this season of confinement and isolation and disappointment and uncertainty. And what we need to know is Paul's proof that when we genuinely trust God, we can experience life at its best, even when we're experiencing the worst of circumstances. Here's what we learn from Paul, and I hope you'll let these words not just wash over you, but move into you. We learn from Paul that we have never been anywhere that God wasn't. Wherever we've been, he's been there, preparing us, providing for us, guiding us. He is everywhere in the present. Wherever you are right now, he's there. And as long as we're alive, we will never be anywhere that God isn't in our future. So no matter how surprised we are by what's happening, just know this, God's not surprised. He's been preparing you for it, planning for it for you. And he wants to do good work in you through it. This means that we can always call on him. We can always count on him. This is why the Bible says that if we draw near to God, he'll draw near to us. It's simple, because he's always there. What's that tell? That's telling us that in the moments when we're not experiencing him, it's because we're not opening our eyes of faith to his presence. In the moments we're not experiencing him, it's because by faith we're not inviting him into that moment of our lives. But he's there. He's always there. He's available. We have to learn to trust him. And we can know there are a lot of things that we can't count on in this life. We just can't count on them. We can't always count on people. We can't always count on our health, our jobs, our economy, our own abilities. But we can always count on God. I mean, he's never going to leave us or forsake us. And no matter what we've done or what we do, God will never desert us. He's certainly not deserted us in this pandemic season. You need to be encouraged. He's there with you. And of course, we're going to have a lot of questions. The questions aren't a problem. That's normal. I have tons of questions. There's going to be a ton of stuff that's going to happen that we just don't understand. That was certainly true of Paul's life. But as we learn from Paul in Philippi, the one thing we can always know is that God is at work, watching over us and working in us. So even in the worst of times, we can have this hope. Of course, it's so easy to lose hope when tragedies strike, when unexpected surprises come, especially those we can't make sense out of. But even in those times, we can hope because God is always working. So what I want to do is I just want to take the basis of his life in the passages we've read, and I want to show you a couple of angles into it that might be able to help you in processing your circumstances today. It's Philippians 1:6 again, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. What Paul does here is he turns that truth that he's basing his life on, that's giving him the ability to cope with his surprises, and he's personalizing it to us. He uses the pronoun you. I'm confident that the God who began a good work in you is going to bring it to completion all the way until Jesus comes back. So here's the angle I want you to see. When we trust God, we can have absolute confidence that once God has begun a work in us, nothing can stop it. Nothing. And remember, Paul wasn't saying this from some comfortable vacation retreat. He was saying this from the dark, brutal, inhumane, isolated, confining prison cell in Rome. He knew that even there, God was continuing his good work in and through his life. But that leads us to another angle. Even when we're trusting God, we can't have confidence that all things will work out the way we want. We wish that's how God's promises work, that's how life works, but it's not how it works. We can't be confident that all of our endings are going to be happily ever after. They're not. It's just not true. You see, all things do not end happy here on earth. The truth is that every sick person doesn't get well, and every couple that gets married doesn't have a Cinderella story, and every child who's born doesn't have a wonderful life, and every person who loses a job doesn't get a better one. So all things don't necessarily end happy in this life, but it doesn't rob us of the ability to have hope and joy and peace and meaning. That's what Paul's telling us in this book, in this letter. You see, Paul knew the reality that it's not fairy tale endings. Look at Philippians chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. I eagerly expect and hope that I'll in no way be ashamed, that, you know, I'm going to live right, that I'll have sufficient courage so that now, as always, no matter what happens in my life, what the surprises are, Christ will be exalted in my body, that I'll please God, that I'll honor him, that I'll make him happy. And then he says, whether by life or by death. He said, I don't know if I'm going to die in this or if I'm going to live. Doesn't change anything. God's still completing his good work in me. He completes it either way. And then he said this famous verse, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. He's simply saying, the end of my story is a win because my life is about Jesus, and with Jesus, in the end, I win. But he wasn't demanding the right circumstances in his life in this moment. In fact, very seldom did he get them. So we can't always count on happy endings, but Paul made it clear we can count on nothing stopping God from doing his good work. It's a certainty. And this explains Paul's behavior, because Paul and his ministry partner Silas genuinely believed that nothing could stop the good work that God was doing in them. It didn't matter what surprises they were experiencing or where they were thrown. They taught us that when we trust God, we can and we should worship God no matter what our circumstances. And it's exactly what they did. I mean, look at Acts chapter 16, starting with verse 23. After they had been severely beaten, flogged, they were thrown into prison. And the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. And when he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet to the stocks. This is as bad as it gets. But look at their response. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. They worshiped because they knew no matter what they were experiencing in this life, in Jesus, the best was yet to come. He was doing his good, and it wouldn't be done being worked on until he came back. But I need you to see, and this is where there's a choice to be made. This is only true for those of us who trust him. Because you see, there's a condition to this promise. God's given it to everybody. It's available to you, whoever you are, wherever you are, but the only way you experience it is if you meet this condition. And here's the condition to that great promise: allowing God to begin his good work in you. You see, God will continue his good work once it's begun in you. But you have to make the choice to trust him, to let him do that beginning of good work in you. Here's the question. Have you? Only you know. I mean, maybe your parents told you he had, and maybe a priest told you he had, or maybe a pastor like myself told you he had. Maybe you've told yourself he has, but let me just ask you, has God really begun his good work in you? Have you really experienced his forgiveness of your sins so that all your guilt no longer haunts you and shadows your every day? Do you really know what it's like to be in relationship with God and have that hope no matter what? Well, the good news is that you can have him. You can have him right now. And all you have to do is trust him. And so before I finish out the thoughts of this weekend's conversation and lead into worship, I want to pray with you. And for those of you who already know Jesus, I know God's stirring some things in you can talk to him about. But for those of you who want him to begin that good work in you right now, pray with me, would you? Just take my words. You can say them out loud or in your heart, but take my words and make them yours. Just say to God, Jesus, I need you. I'm asking you to begin your good work in me right now. I've messed up. I've sinned. I've failed. I need you. And so right now, I'm putting my faith in your death on that cross to forgive my sin and take my guilt away. And I'm putting my faith in your resurrection to give me new life. Begin your good work. In Jesus' name, amen. There's so much to growing a relationship with God, and we'd love to share with you great stepping stones that you can take in that process. We'd love to send you a New Testament of the Bible. It's where Philippians can be found, but to do that, we have to know you prayed with me. So you can text us, as you can see on the screen. Follow that, and we would love to be a part of your life in that way. But let me conclude the discussion this weekend this way. It's obvious we're living in a surprising season. I mean, we are. It's a season where God is, in my opinion, literally resetting and reshaping our world. And for us to experience his best, we have to adjust to it. So I want to give you this thought. We don't get to choose our reality, but we do get to choose what we do with our reality. And that's what Paul did in Philippi, and that's what Paul did in Rome. And that's what we need to do in this season of our lives. What we have to do is we have to realize that though we're surprised in this moment, God isn't. In fact, God's been preparing us all along the way for this moment none of us were planning for or expecting. But if we trust him now, like Paul did in Philippi, he can use us to change the world in this moment, in these surprising circumstances. I'm seeing that at Northridge in a big way. At Northridge, though surprised, we're seeing him do work we would have never imagined. And I maybe this is the best way to do it. I would have never planned for a pandemic, didn't. And maybe that's shame on me, poor leadership or whatever, but that's just not what I was planning for. And yet God was preparing us for this moment, for such a time as this. Let me give you a couple of ways. About 20 years ago, we decided that wow, video would really help us with our services. Our auditorium was pretty big. It helped people see what was going on in the services. And so we decided to do video. But, you know, okay, how do you do that? Paul Black, our music pastor, and I went out and bought an 8mm hand video camera. I mean, your iPhone's like 10 times better than this camera was. And we put it in the middle of our big auditorium right after we built this building. And we showed the pictures on the screen with a home switcher. It did these weird things, spun the images around and did it. It was awful, horrible. But through that process, we said, wow, video really does enhance our experience here and here in this building. And so we started making investments on getting better at it, and people came in with talents in video, and they started making us better at it, and we started going. But little did we ever know that we'd be in a moment where we couldn't do ministry without these cameras. You see, God was preparing us to be ready for that which we could have never dreamed of coming. I mean, I never dreamed that I couldn't be speaking to you live and you being here, and yet that's where we are. I didn't think of seeing you through a camera lens, and this huge camera lens right in front of me right now, but that's where we're at. But because of it, you're able to be where you are experiencing this. We're able to gather together in Jesus' name and experience his presence. Hey, look at God's preparing us for his plans. He's already prepared us. We have a costuming team here at Northridge, and not all churches have costuming teams, but we do, as you know, video, and we did the soldier film for Easter, and if you haven't seen that, you need to see that, but the costuming was necessary. You know what our costuming team is doing now? They never planned for this. They're making masks for medical professionals and for others to be safe in this pandemic. It's crazy. Here's what I want you to see. Though this pandemic is a huge surprise, it's not a surprise to God. He's been preparing us and readying us for it for years so we could fulfill his mission in it. Though surprised, we're getting to experience his best. Here's the question I have for you. What has God made you ready to do in this season of surprise? How has God been preparing you for this moment without you knowing about it? A couple of personal individual examples I've seen in our ministry. There's a guy named Steve, and he's a cinematographer. But God's allowed him through this season to be investing not in his professional secular vocation, but he's actually invested himself in helping us bring video to life. He helped us with the soldier film as the cinematographer. And see, he never expected a pandemic like this, but God was preparing him for this moment to help us build an Easter that could change lives like it did last week. A woman named Kathy, who works with Southwest Airlines, it's the way she, you know, provided for herself and her family, but she's over the areas where she gets to distribute the products to the flights that are happening, but the flights stopped happening with Southwest, so she's been distributing those products through Northridge to medical professionals here. That's what God had prepared her to do, and she's doing it. There's a gal who's missing her fiance, who's a soldier, a medic, over in Baghdad with all of his friends. And you know what she did? She took that soldier film we shot and she sent it to them so they could watch it, soldiers in Baghdad watching our short film, The Soldier, and man, it impacted their lives. They weren't here for Christmas or Easter, but they're experiencing it because she did what she could do. And I guess this is really where I want to get to. God's been preparing you to do something during this season. Are you doing it? Because that's where the world changes. That's where you can change the world. That's what Paul did. We don't get to choose our reality, but we get to choose what we do with this reality. And what we need to do is we need to choose to trust God, to serve others, no matter what the circumstances. But to do this demands that we need to surrender our will, our dreams, our plans, our wants to his will and his plans. Have you? Are you right now? Because if you don't, it won't happen. It's not something that happens naturally. It's something we have to make a choice intentionally to do. So I want to encourage you during this next song. The song's called I Surrender. And I want to encourage you to talk to God about what he's been preparing you to do, and talk to God about whether you've been doing it, and make the choice during this song to surrender to him, to do what he's prepared you to do. And my prayer is, during this song, you'll make choices that will forever change your life.
Here I am, down on my knees again, surrendering all, surrendering all. Find me here, Lord, as you draw me near, I'm desperate for you. Desperate for you, I surrender. I surrender. I wanna know you more. I wanna know you more. I surrender.
Really needs to be our prayer, because we're going to be surprised by God. We're going to experience disappointments. That reality is not over. But no matter what we experience, we can count on nothing stopping the good work God wants to do in us and through us. And so why don't we pray together, just giving ourselves in surrender to trust Him and to serve others. Father, I pray for each and everyone experiencing this service, this moment right now. And we can know and have confidence that no matter what surprises we experience, and we're going to experience big ones in our lives, we're experiencing a big one now, we're going to experience life's best in those surprises if we keep trusting You. And so I pray for each one that You would fill them with Your capacity, the touch of Your presence and promise, so that they can believe, trust, keep hope. We're surrendering ourselves to You now because it's in You we're going to experience everything You created us for. And we pray for our world. We pray for those investing to make our world better, to get us through this pandemic, both physically and spiritually. But in the end, we just surrender to You. And we thank You for the impacts and the results in Jesus' name. Amen. So it's true, we're going to get surprised. We're going to get blown off course. We're going to experience a rough ride at times. It's not always a Cinderella, happily ever after ending. It's true, but as disappointed as we can feel, we can never think that God's disappointing us. I want to remind you, He's working right now. He's not making mistakes. He's not failing. He hasn't lost control. And so what's the great response? Well, the one that Paul and Silas offered God in prison. They worshiped. And so when we choose to trust God and when we choose to serve others, it's going to have to be on the basis of our choice, this choice, what we're going to do right now, the choice to worship.